This is Jen Rowland, and I want to thank you for tuning in to today's post. What is trauma? Part 2. A few weeks ago, we started a new series on trauma, how it affects the body, and steps you can take to heal. In my first post, we learned that trauma occurs when an event exceeds your nervous system's capacity to cope with it. It was simply too much to process or understand at the time. This could be due to age, sensitivity, emotional stability, resources, or lack of support. That is, someone to come alongside you to serve as a compassionate witness to what you were going through. The frequency, intensity, and any previous trauma experience must also be taken into consideration. But there is one thing all traumatic events have in common. The individual's basic need for love, safety, or belonging was not met, and it left a lasting impact. Trauma can have long-term effects on our physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. But the good news is there are steps we can take to heal. To heal from trauma, it must be exposed and discussed. It is when trauma is sufficiently remembered in a safe environment where one feels seen, heard, validated, and understood that true healing can happen. Before we can begin to heal, we must understand what trauma is. Last time we explored the first three statements about trauma. Today, we'll look at statements 4 through 6. Can you tell whether each one is true or false? The first one was trauma is any life-threatening event. And we learned that that is false, that trauma is actually much more than that. The second statement was a variety of factors determine whether an event becomes traumatic for an individual. That was true. And the third one was the best way to heal from trauma is to forget about it and move on, which was false. The best way to heal is actually first to look back and recognize it, to name it, and to bring it into the light. Today, we're going to talk about number 4, God promises to protect us from experiencing trauma. Number 5, 90% of U.S. citizens will be exposed to a traumatic event in their lifetime. And number 6, people who have experienced trauma are usually depressed. Number 4, God promises to protect us from experiencing trauma. This is obviously false. Prior to his crucifixion, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And that's John 16:33. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He says the Christian life is hard. We will struggle. We will experience pain and we will go through trauma. However, he tells us that we can have courage. He promises to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and assures us that our grief will turn to joy that no man can take away. See, God never promised to shield us from suffering, but he does promise to strengthen us in it and give us his peace. He promises to work all things for our good and bring purpose from our pain. God takes our worst pain and through relationship with him, redeems it in improved relationships with others, being more compassionate, empathetic, and Christ-like in the way we love. New possibilities, such as ministering to others who are hurting. Personal strengths, like developing resilience, deeper spirituality or trusting God, and greater appreciation of life. This concept of post-traumatic growth states that transformation occurs not in spite of trauma, but because of it. No pain is wasted. Your hard story has meaning, and the Lord will use it to bring you and others healing. You may still be reminded of past trauma, but you can reach a point with God's help where it no longer has a hold on you. It's about learning what to do with what you remember in a way where you're no longer overcome with negative emotion when you think about it. It becomes something that happened to you, but it's over now. You are safe. You can become free from reliving the pain, rehashing the past, and being paralyzed by anxiety, guilt, depression, shame, or loneliness. You are no longer a slave to fear. This is what I believe it means to walk in victory, because you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Number 5, 90% of U.S. citizens will be exposed to a traumatic event at least one in their lifetime. This staggering statistic is true, taking into account the many types of trauma from assault, abuse, serious car accidents and injuries, to natural disasters, life-threatening illnesses, death of a close family member or friend, and the witnessing of another's trauma. Of those exposed to a traumatic event, about 9% will develop PTSD, with women being twice as likely to experience PTS symptoms as men, about 13% of females compared to 6% of males who are exposed to a traumatic event will go on to develop post-traumatic stress disorder. One theory as to why trauma impacts women differently is that their brains do not compartmentalize in the same manner men's brains do. Trauma affects women in a more web-like way, affecting multiple areas of their life. Some common signs of PTSD include numbing, which is a flat affect or not feeling, or also experiencing disconnection from people and activities you once enjoyed. Hyperarousal, which are extreme reactions to triggers that remind you of painful events. Dysfunctional relationships due to intense protective and defensive pathways that your body has put in place as a protection mechanism, but which can actually be self-defeating in the long run. Re-experiencing in the form of flashbacks, nightmares, or intrusive thoughts where you can relive the event or experience the feelings that you felt during the event. Avoidance, which could be avoiding people, places, conversation, or things that remind you of the trauma. And dissociation, which is using our imagination to escape trauma that you can't get away from. It's important to know that PTSD and CPTSD are normal human responses to abnormal situations. If you're experiencing any of these symptoms, it doesn't mean you're abnormal. What you experienced is abnormal. Trauma can compromise our health and ability to engage with others by replacing patterns of connection with patterns of protection, which are usually self-defeating. But there are things we can do to move toward recovery. If you or a loved one is triggered by people, places, phrases, or things such as loud noises or images that cause painful memories to resurface, there is a link in my post to a Managing Your Triggers toolkit that can help you gain greater understanding of your emotional sensitivities, develop your capacity to recognize when you've been triggered, and implement powerful practices for self-management to improve your overall well-being. Number 6, people who have experienced trauma are usually depressed. This is false. People are affected by trauma in many different ways. Someone who is highly sensitive, for example, may feel pain and trauma more deeply. Someone who has a strong support system and reaches out immediately can mitigate the effects of stressful events early on, preventing long-term deficits in their health. Those who have experienced childhood trauma have an increased risk for depression due to alterations in their brain chemistry, but it's still not the majority. And there's a link in my blog that you can click to for an article written by neuropsychologist Michelle Bengston on signs and symptoms of depression. Many people who have experienced trauma are highly functioning and otherwise healthy adults, but they still struggle with one or more of the following. Extreme emotional reactions to things that remind them of past trauma, heightened defensive or protective responses, numbing behaviors or perhaps addictions, flashbacks or intrusive thoughts, feeling frequently anxious or on edge and struggling to relax, difficulty sleeping and or focusing on routine tasks, impaired memory and or decision making, avoidance of certain people, places, or situations, and chronic pain, illness, muscle tension, TMJ, or other physical ailments, often with an unknown origin. Unresolved trauma results in an overactive nervous system that floods our body with cortisol and adrenaline. These stress hormones take a toll on our bodies over time, causing health problems, an impaired immune system, sleep disturbances, and several other symptoms. This is why strategies to regulate our nervous system, that is, calming the sympathetic fight or flight response and engaging the parasympathetic or rest and digest response, and practices like deep breathing can help. And I've linked to 2 articles that I've written on my blog to both regulate the nervous system and the deep breathing, which can help engage our parasympathetic or rest and digest response. I want to encourage you today that healing and recovery from trauma are possible. It requires patience, repetition, quiet, reflection, and rebuilding a sense of safety, but you will get there. Relaxation, meditation, and self-compassion in the healing process have been proven over the long term to be more effective than some of the most potent medications. Trust that God can turn your tragedy into triumph when you stay the course. He has a higher purpose for your pain. Call to action. As you read today's post, did anything resonate? Could trauma be part of your story? Could it be contributing to your chronic pain or illness? If so, click the link in my blog to sign up for the rest of the series if you're not already subscribed. In future posts, we'll explore the neurobiology of trauma, the antidote to trauma, how to overcome a victim mindset, how to move forward from trauma, and more. Thank you, and I hope you'll tune in again next week. God bless.